Hello. I hope you're well and that things are going okay for you at school. And I hope that you're able to carry on going to school if you can, if you're not shielding people around you that might not be well or that might need your help. Right, my name is Kuda. I'm one of the deacons and Sunday school teachers at Sittingbourne Baptist Church. This is the first time that you're hearing these messages. I hope that that you enjoy them. So I'm recording this one for the children in Ignite, which is people from reception all the way up to year seven. So I hope you enjoy it. And this one is for Sunday, the 11th of October. So exciting that we're getting close to Christmas, and it's going to be a different Christmas, but we're still going to celebrate. So before we go into the parables, which is what we're continuing to talk about today, we're going to play our little game where I give you five clues, and each of the clues has a descending number of points. So if you get it from the first clue, then you get 5 points, and 4, 3, 2, and 1. By the time we get to the last clue, you should have a very good idea what I am trying to get you to think of. So I am thinking of something, and let's see whether I can give you some clues so that you're thinking of it too. So for 5 points, it's a piece of furniture, right? For 4 points, it has one or more legs. For 3 points, in most cultures, it is rude to sit on one. Does that help? For 2 points, it usually has a flat top. And for 1 point, you can eat from it, in that you can put things on this and eat while you're sitting at it. So, were you thinking of a table? I hope so, because that's what I was thinking of, and the clues were supposed to lead you to think of that. I hope you enjoyed that. It's always interesting for me to try and dream up of another one that I haven't done before, because we've done quite a few of these. Right, so we're carrying on our study of the parables that Jesus taught us, and today we've got three rather short parables to look at. The first one is found in Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 to 29. So if you do have your Bibles and you can find the book of Mark, that will be good. Chapter 4, now we're reading from verse 26. So this is the parable of the growing seeds. All three parables today are talking about the kingdom of heaven and what it can be likened like. Because again, Jesus is using agricultural examples. He's using things to do with growing things and farming, which would have been things that people were familiar with. And he's turning them into stories that have a hidden meanings. And these three are really ones that made people think. They were things that people would have gone away and continued to think about after they had heard them, because they were really quite different to the way the people were being taught in the synagogue or anywhere else. Jesus had this amazing way of speaking and making people really go back and think about what he had said. So verse 26 says, Jesus went on to say, the kingdom of God is like this. A man scattered seed in his field. He slept at night, is up and about the day, and all the while the seeds are sprouting and growing. Yet he doesn't know how it happens. The soil itself makes the plants grow and bear fruit. First the tender stalks appears, then the head, and finally the head full of grain. When the grain is ripe, the man starts cutting it with his sickle, because harvest time has come. Right, so as I said, it's using something about planting seeds that people would have been very, very familiar with. And in this parable, it shows us that really, once the man has planted the seed, the Bible tells us that he doesn't know how it happens. He doesn't know how the seeds are going to sprout. He doesn't know how they're going to grow. He doesn't know as well the rate at which they will grow. And they will grow and they will bear fruit. First the stalk, and they will mature at different stages, through the different stages of a plant growing. But the man doesn't understand this and he doesn't know it. So if we're looking at this parable, the person who is the man sowing the seed, this could be Jesus telling us something from the Bible, or giving you an impression of something, or just speaking to your heart. And it might be a realization of God that you have. And that information is the seed that is sown. Or it could be that you go and tell other people about how you feel about God, or you give your testimony of how you know that God lives in your heart and that Jesus Christ died for you. That's called giving your testimony. So anytime you give your testimony or you talk to people about your faith, it is like you are sowing a seed in their life. And now, it's not your responsibility to go back and check on the seed and dig it up again. Otherwise, it'll never grow. So, you know, if you go and tell your friends about coming to church or listening to these broadcasts or these Sunday school provisions or reading the Bible or any other way that you have of telling people about Jesus, that's all your responsibility. According to this parable, that's all the responsibility. Because remember, it said that the farmer, the man who had sown the seed, he did not know how it happened that the seed sprouted and started growing. So it is not your responsibility to keep going and saying to somebody, I told you about church 3 months ago. Why are you not coming to church? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? If you have God growing in your heart, you shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. There might be a place for that. But in this context, it's saying that it is not your responsibility to go and dig up the seed again and check how much it's grown and stick it back up in the ground, because you will stop the seed growing. That means that we should not put pressure on our friends if we tell them about God, or we tell them about coming to church or being good and things like that. It's not our responsibility to come up and keep checking on them and stress them out about it, because the plants will grow and the word of God in them, the gospel message that you give to that person, it has its own power to grow and mature. We don't have to do anything. This is one of the mystery of God and how he works in people, in helping them to be strong believers on their own. And sometimes we can go and encourage people and maybe sort of help them along if they ask for help, or we can go and tell them a bit more, or, you know, or answer their questions. But really, in this story here, the farmer doesn't do anything. He doesn't water the ground because he's planted the seed at the right time of the year. So the sun is shining on the seed and the rains are falling on the seed, and there is enough nutrients in the soil to make the seed grow. So the farmer doesn't have to do anything. All he has to do is see the seed growing. First of all, the tender stalks will appear, then the head, and then finally the full grain of the full head of grain. And then when the grain is ripe, then the man cuts it down because the harvest has come. And the harvest could be when Jesus comes back to take people up to heaven, or it could be when that person says something to let you know that, you know, you can now tell them, oh yes, this is the way to go to church and this is the time to come and all that sort of stuff. So you can just watch how God's word is growing in somebody's heart. It is not your responsibility to go and dig it up again and be bossing people about.
God has a mysterious way of helping our faith to grow, just as mysteriously as he does with each one of us. So we have to allow other people to come to know God on their own and at their own pace without hassling them. Right, so that's the parable of the growing seed. Now we're going to look at parable 14, which is the parable of the mustard seed. And that can be found in Mark chapter 4, verse 30 to 32. All of the parables today are really short. So verse 30 says, "What shall we say the kingdom of God is like?" asked Jesus. "What parable shall we use to explain it?" "It is like this. A man takes a mustard seed, the smallest seed in the world, and plants it in the ground. After a while, it grows up and becomes the biggest of all plants. It puts out such large branches that the birds come and make their nests in its shade." And then verse 33 says, "Jesus preached this message to the people using many other parables like this. He told them as much as they could understand. He would not speak to them without using parables, but when he was alone with his disciples, he would explain everything to them." Right, so in this parable, although it says that the mustard seed is the smallest one, it is not really the smallest seed in the whole world, but it is the smallest one in the East, which is where Jesus was preaching. And it was the smallest known plant, seed, that could grow into a plant that would provide food. And also, when a mustard plant grew, it didn't really grow to be as big as Jesus says here. So there's a little bit of like supernatural growth. There's a little bit of growing beyond what people expected. And I'll talk about that a little bit later on. There's another couple of times where Jesus talks about our faith and how we can use that and how we can understand our faith better. And he again compares the faith to a mustard seed. And in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus is talking again about our faith. And he says that, where's it gone? I've lost it. In Matthew, where is it? Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Which means that Jesus is saying our faith, if we have a strong enough faith, even though we might feel our faith is really, really small, it is very powerful, even though it is small. So we don't need to have bucketfuls of faith. We just need to have a little bit of faith in God, and he will hear and answer our prayers. He will make mountains move in our lives. And it's not necessarily physical mountains that are standing in our way. You can't really stand at the bottom of Mount Everest and ask it to move. But if there was something that was stopping you from doing something in your life, that would be like a mountain that is got in your way between where you are and where you want to go, like an obstacle that is stopping you moving forward. Let's say that could be something like fear. If there was something you were afraid of, with a little bit of faith, you would be able to overcome that and be able to move forward and do the things that God wants you to do, if you just use your faith to move that thing out of the way. Because really, fear can be something that stops you achieving all that God wants you to achieve. Also in Luke chapter 17, verse 6, it says something similar. Jesus replied, "If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you will say to this plant, to this tree, Be uprooted and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Again, the same thing, that if there is something that's rooted in your life, something that is growing that shouldn't be growing, let's say it could be something like anger. If you have anger, if you have a situation that makes you angry, it's like anger will take root in your heart and will start to grow and interfere in other areas of your life, like maybe at school or with your friends or with your parents. And if you feel that anger is there growing in you like a tree, you can ask it to move out of your life, even with the smallest amount of faith. So you don't need a lot of faith, really, to believe in God and for God to help you to achieve great things, like changing if you realize that your personality or some of the things that you do are not very good. God can help you to change, but it only takes a very small amount of faith. So in this parable, Jesus says that the tree, the mustard tree, is going to grow so big that even the birds of the air will be able to take shade in it and grow their nests. So he is describing a mustard seed normally grows into like a bush, which is not really that tall. But here, with what in the example that Jesus is giving, he's talking about something really dramatic, like a dramatic move of God that makes the tree grow to be bigger than what we expected. So when we're talking about the kingdom of heaven and we're talking about the things that our faith can do, we should be expecting great and mighty things, like a big mighty tree like that's described in this place. And the mustard seed does have thousands and thousands of seeds. It produces thousands of seeds. So it can grow really, really big, and then it can produce lots and lots more trees out of it. So when our faith grows and we are able to spread our faith, because it says that the faith is as big as a mustard seed. So when that seed has grown and becomes a mighty tree, it is similar to if we are able to influence lots of other people with our faith and help other people to have hope in Jesus. So sometimes when God gives us a gift, it is not for us to keep it and keep it hidden or keep it just to benefit ourselves. We're supposed to use that gift to help other people and to make their lives better in one way or the other. Now, the mustard seed can be in the ground for years, for many years, before it starts growing. Because if the weather is not right and it's not getting enough water, it will not start growing because it knows it needs water to grow and it needs to be the right temperature outside. So it can lay in the ground for a very long time, patiently waiting for all the conditions outside to be right. And sometimes we have to be patient and wait and use our faith and hold on to things. And like this time that we had lockdown and we just had to be patient and wait. And I know that there are some people that even though lockdown officially has been stopped, because of the people they live with or because they themselves are not well, they haven't been able to go back to school and they haven't been able to do so many things because they have been looking after other people in the house. So we have to grow while we are being patient. We have to just wait until all the conditions outside are right before we can go and spread our wings and move on and grow. It's not the mustard seed as well. Is not easily killed by fire, even if there is a mustard bush growing in a field and a fire was started. A lot of other plants would easily be killed by the fire, but a mustard tree is really, really strong and really, really stubborn. And sometimes as Christians, we have to be like that. We have to be strong in our faith. And we have to make sure that we're not moved about by other people and what they think. We have to stand strong in our faith. As we can see that, oh, and the mustard seed, another thing about it is that when it's growing, it doesn't need looking after and it doesn't need pampering and it doesn't need like somebody coming and weeding around it a lot. It grows really quickly and really strong. So our faith, we do need to work on making sure that we keep our faith strong and we keep looking at the promises that God has given to us. But we shouldn't really wait and rely on other things to feed our faith. We should just focus on God and listen to what God is saying to us, either through the Bible or through preaching or different things like that. Don't wait for people to come and say, oh, are you okay? Are you being a good and strong Christian? Make sure that you're able to stand on your own two feet. Now that we don't have Sunday school all the time, I don't know whether people are listening and I don't know how good all the Sunday school children are being, but you have to decide to be strong for yourself and you have to decide that you're going to grow your faith on your own. The responsibility is yours. And that is how God uses that mustard seed to show that you can be strong. You can be strong. You can grow into a strong individual with strong faith. So the kingdom is amazing in the way that it grows and that it goes beyond anything we've ever seen before. But even with that, this was still something that people were expected to go away and think about it and let the more that they thought about it, the more mysterious and the more amazing the kingdom of God would have seemed. And that's what we are supposed to do. Right. So the third parable is about yeast. Now, I don't know how much you know about baking or cooking, but when you're making bread, you need this special thing called yeast. And yeast makes the bread rise. It makes the bread really fatten out quite a lot. This parable we're going to take from Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Now I've lost it again. Oh dear. Okay. Here we go. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 33. And it says, Jesus told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with a bushel of flour until the whole batch of dough rises. Verse 34 said, Jesus used parables to tell all these things to the crowds. He would not say a word to them without using a parable. He did this to make come true what the prophet had said. I will use parables when I speak to them. I will tell them things unknown since the creation of the world. So, Jesus is talking about yeast, as I said, that when you're making bread, if you want the bread to rise and have lots of air in it, you use this thing called yeast. And yeast is really, really important because it makes the dough rise and fatten out a lot more so that it creates the spaces in the bread that makes it tasty and yummy. So in here, the amount of yeast that you use compared to the dough is very little. You do not need to use the same amount of yeast as you do flour. I'm not sure exactly what the ratio is, but it's something like 1/10 of the yeast to the amount of flour that you use. So it's quite a small portion compared to the amount of flour. So you use a little bit of yeast and you cover up the dough. And when you do that, the warmth within the dough will make the yeast to ferment and it'll make the yeast spread threw out the whole dough of bread. And then that whole dough will swell up to be about four times the size that it was before. So this is talking about Christianity. Because if we think about it, the Christianity is the belief in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And that started with one man. It started with Jesus. And this parable is telling the crowds that one day, belief in God and allowing God to be the king in our lives would grow into a worldwide community of believers. Today, there are about 2 billion people that say that they are Christians. And that is a lot bigger than where we started from. We started with just one person, Jesus Christ, and all of his teaching. And then we had the 12 disciples, and there were other disciples that were around Jesus that were not in the inner circle of disciples. And all of that, and it started to grow and grow. And then they, after Jesus had died and gone up to heaven, they started moving to different parts of the world and spreading the word of God. And now it has a greatness about being a Christian, and the Christian faith has impacted all the corners of the world. So many places people know about God. So it's important that you know how important it is, and that you are not the only Christian in the world. Even if you're the only Christian in your school or in your family or in your class, there are lots and lots of other Christians around. And God has faithful followers throughout the whole world. And your faith can join together with other people's faith to accomplish great things for God. So don't ever feel that you are the only one who is being good, because sometimes the devil tricks our minds and makes us feel as if we are the only person who is going through an experience, or that we are the only one who is trying their best or working really hard or being so good. But you're not. There are lots of Christians around the world that are happy to say that they are Christians. And they are proud to say that they believe in Jesus Christ. And you can join those people and allow Jesus to come into your heart and help you to live a good life. And also show you how you can be good and kind to other people around you. So those are the three parables that we're talking about today, to do with the kingdom of heaven. And they show different aspects of how the kingdom of God can come and take over and be so big that it provides shelter and rest and shade for lots of other people, and how it can fill up the whole world, basically. The whole world can know about Jesus. So I hope you found that interesting, and I hope you stay well. God bless you in everything you do, and keep smiling. It'll all be over, well, I hope really, really soon. God bless. Bye.